to the Bookcasting Podcast. It's Ola Vea, and I'm here with my expert guest, Tom Riksøver. Today, we're going to talk about Patriot Games by Tom Clancy. And I'm going to go right ahead and start reading from the book. A sunny day in London town. Ryan was nearly killed twice in half an hour. Yeah, that was the start of the book. And now we're going to talk about why Tom Erik should read this book. And then we're going to do a little quote from the book.
Who is Ryan?
Yes. Oh, I like that. Questions. Jack Ryan. So why should you read the book? It's because it's an engaging story. Actually, it's very it's made into an action movie.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh. In it, there's a lot of action in the book. As I'm going to read, the quote is one of the first scenes in the book, which is basically a lot of shooting.
Yes. And should people pretend that they're seeing Harrison Ford when you read the quote?
Well, that's too late now. But Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Plays Jack Ryan in the movie, which
which I haven't seen.
Yes. And as you didn't see in the movie, he's actually a quite boring guy, Jack Ryan. He's a lecturer on the Naval Academy, and he's a little bit of a boring lecturer. He's good, but he's boring. He's lecturing his history.
Yes.
He's a history
military history?
Yeah, I think so. Battles and stuff.
Yeah.
It's, of course, very interesting for a guy who's going on the Naval Academy, because this is what he's going to do. But Harrison Ford himself, Jack Ryan, he's a little boring. Ryan's a little bit of a boring guy, but he's okay. He's a dad. He's quite a cool dad. He's not out. He's not hip. He's cool as a dad. He's a good dad. He's a good husband to his wife. But he's boring. He's a boring American dude, doing a lot of desk work in his office.
Okay,
but his life until now has been a little bit boring.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's going to change. Do you have any questions before I do my quote?
No.
Yeah. So basically, I'm going to jump right into the earlier quote. They're in London.
Yeah. So
they are an American couple and their daughter in London, and now they have decided that they're going back to the hotel, and they plan on going on a date. A very American thing to do for a couple. I also do it with my girlfriend. They're going to go on a date. Eat dinner without the daughter, hopefully. That's what he hopes. And while he's thinking about that, he hears brakes squealed off to his left. He wondered if the hotel had a babysitting. Boom! Ryan jumped at the sound of an explosion not 30 yards away. Grenade! Something in his mind reported. He sensed the whispering sound of fragments in the air, and a moment later heard the chatter of automatic weapons fire. He spun around to see the Rolls turned crooked in the street. The front end seemed lower than it should be, and its path was blocked by a black sedan. There was a man standing at his right front fender, firing an AK-47 rifle into the front end, and another man was racing around to the car's left rear. Ryan grabbed his daughter's shoulder and forced her to the ground behind the tree, yanking his wife roughly down beside her. A dozen cars were stopped raggedly behind the Rolls, none closer than 50 feet, and these shielded his family from the line of fire. Traffic on the far side was blocked by the sedan. The man with the Kalashnikov was spraying the Rolls for all he was worth. Son of a bitch, Ryan kept his head up, scarcely able to believe what he saw. It's the goddamn IRA! They're killing somebody, right? Yeah, I'll stop it there. This, we are moments away from the little bit boring, dusty old history lecturer gets a bad trip back to his days as a Marine, because he was actually a Marine for a while.
Yeah.
1 year or something, like doing his military service kind of thing. Oh shit. And so he's been trained. That's why he's shouting, grenade and get down and everything. It's from his training. It's just like instincts going off.
Yeah.
And we are just moments away from him getting pissed and basically doing a good old-fashioned American football tackle on one of the terrorists, smashing him into the car, grabbing his gun and shooting the terrorists. Yeah.
Two to the head? So what I think I'm hearing here is maybe something that could be a useful thing nowadays, which is a history lesson about terrorism without the usual suspects.
Yes.
Without the usual guys that you think are always the terrorists.
That's right. Because this is back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. These guys are Irish. And they have been in the IRA.
Mm.
And they are Catholics from Ireland. But Mr. Ryan, as you can hear, Ryan, he is of Irish descent himself. He is from a family of Catholics. And he went to a very, very Catholic school. So in the conflict that ensues here. Ensues, is that right? Where... It turns out that the guy who survives, the terrorist who survives, he starts a personal vendetta to make revenge on Ryan for killing his brother. Hmm. Because there were the two brothers that were doing the terrorist act.
Okay.
We can see how this whole thing about religion and what the role it plays in terrorism is not very well founded. In reality, because this is actually a lot more personal than religion, terrorism. It's about vengeance for something.
And the honor system?
The honor system.
Maybe.
Absolutely. What do you mean by that?
Well, we talked about this a little bit in the Pinker.
Yes.
The Pinker episode.
Yes.
So the honor system is about, if you kill my brother, then... I'm going to have to do something about that.
Kill your brother. My brother.
Your brother.
Yes.
And for two reasons.
Yes.
One reason is that if I don't, then you're going to think that it's okay for you to just kill my brother.
Yes.
Because there's no consequences.
Yes.
But there's also one other reason, which I think maybe was involved here.
Yes.
In the movie that I didn't see. And which is... Which is, if you kill my brother, and I don't do anything about it, then the other guys that I hang out with, are not going to respect me, if I don't do anything about it.
That's right.
Yeah,
they won't.
Yeah.
And that's two more reasons that are not really vengeance. It's punishment.
Yeah.
In its your
honor.
Honor. So you're thinking that both of them are honor.
Yeah.
So vengeance is actually removed from that.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I agree. So because vengeance is very emotionally driven kind of thing. Yeah, I think
this is very it's reasonable in the sense it's founded on reason, because if I don't.
The honor system is found in the reason.
Yes, because if I don't make you pay, then there's a very high chance that you're just going to do it again because there were no consequences.
Yes.
And that's a reasonable thing to want to avoid.
Yes. I have one more aspect here, which is very interesting when we're thinking about Pinker, because Pinker, he says that we have a historical... trend going away from the honor system towards
the justice system?
A different kind of code, which is about being a gentleman, restraining yourself and showing yourself that you are the bigger person.
Okay.
Here. I don't remember what his wording is, but it's the civilized reaction, which is... somebody comes in, kills my brother, instead of me and my guys, you know, taking matters into our own hands, I step back and I say, well, this is bad, but we have a system for this, and I will leave it to the system to punish.
Right.
I will leave it to the system to uphold my honor, and if I want vengeance, it's going to be in prison, where this guy is going to rot forever.
And I think Pinker's argument, it's about the Leviathan.
Yes.
And you killing my brother,
yes,
is no longer a crime against me.
Yes.
But a crime against the state.
Yes.
And that's why the state is going to punish you,
yes,
not me.
Yes. And it's very good for the state,
yeah,
that it is like that. But that's not Pinker's point, actually. His point is that it goes beyond that. And it goes to the whole concept where you come down the street, you meet me and my brother, you kill my brother, and I'm surprised because this is not how I see the world. You know, this is very abnormal and strange behavior on your part. And that's what we see in the movie. So Ryan is on the street with his family. Two guys run up in ski masks with Kalashnikovs, start shooting into somebody's car. He doesn't even know who they are. And then he basically decides, this is wrong, you know, and I am going to do something about this. And then he interferes and he ends up killing them. It's a little bit accidental that he kills them, actually, because he it just happens. In the beginning, he just tries to stop the one guy. But anyway, so yes, it's the same reaction. He reacts, he thinks this is wrong.
Yeah.
I'm stopping this. And then he comes in, and then, Pinker's point, yeah.
I have to say, because I remember you told me something very interesting that relates to this.
Yes, yes.
It's when, if you're a bystander.
Yes, yes.
And you watch a crime.
Yes.
Going on.
Yes.
And if you don't do anything about it.
You are. An accomplice.
Yes.
Accomplice.
And actually, yes. I think our laws.
But why?
Because if the state isn't there to intervene,
yes,
then it's your responsibility to intervene on behalf of the state.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the state is you.
Yeah.
And you are part of the state.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the same as happened if somebody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's your responsibility to give them first aid.
Yeah.
Until a doctor arrives. And actually, you don't have the right to proclaim somebody dead. A doctor are the only one authorized. So as long as there's no doctor there,
yeah,
you should continue doing first aid until the doctor arrives.
Yeah.
And we have examples of that happening where people have continued doing first aid for many hours.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors have arrived and they have saved the person,
yeah,
who was what we call functionally, you know, none of the body functions worked. The heart didn't work, the lungs didn't work, but still, they saved them.
Mm.
Yes, and this is kind of a similar situation where if you just stand there,
yeah,
and watch, the people would die,
yeah,
and it's your fault,
yeah,
because you could have done something.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. And of course, he might have gotten killed,
yeah,
doing this, and he doesn't think about that. And that's interesting, of course. But there's another point here about what you said. And that is, if you watch somebody else doing something like this, they will do it. They will feel encouraged by you, by having an audience. So you being there watching might actually encourage them. You leaving and leaving them alone, they have to take responsible on their own. And they might change their mind. So you can actually also leave. The wrongest thing is to just stand by and watch. Yeah.
So this is, am I right that this is a subject that is kind of shed light on in the book?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Why did you ask that?
Because I felt that we were going off on a tangent, and I wanted to know how relevant is it,
yes,
for reading the book.
It is. I will now say, he has a quote in the start.
Okay.
From a famous guy.
Okay, while you find the quote, I'm going to tell you about Audible.
Good, good, good.
Because actually, Tom Clancy's Patriot Game is actually on Audible.
Yes.
And you can choose between two versions. Yes. One very short one, only a couple of hours.
Yes.
And the other one is like 20 hours or something. 22 hours.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can get one of them for free right now.
Yes.
If you go to audibletrial.com/bookcasting.
Yes.
And you can put in your email and password and credit card and all that.
Yes.
And you will get this first book for free. And then if you continue the subscription, which you should,
yes,
because you need to read books.
Yes.
And one good way to read more books is to listen to them, because then you can listen to books when you don't have your hands free to actually hold a book.
Yes.
So go there and get the book, audibletrial.com/bookcasting. You can also find that link on our webpage, by the way.
Do you think they have WhisperSync?
Yes, they do. What is WhisperSync?
Well, I'm holding your Kindle now. And that means that now that I've gone away, I've gone back to the start of the book, away from the quote I read, then if I start the my Audible Patriot Games now, it will also be there. They will sync each other.
Almost. It will go to the furthest page that you've read.
Okay. Yep. Okay, so that's wrong then. So let's say, okay, so you read the book, you keep on reading on your Kindle, and then you decide, I'm going out skiing.
Yeah.
You put on your headphones like I have now, and then you go out skiing, and then you can continue reading with your ears instead of your eyes.
Isn't that great?
It's WhisperSync.
I think that's a great concept, that you can actually read a book while you're skiing.
And then you can come back, sit, put your feet up in front of the fire, and continue reading.
And you can say that you actually got smarter while you skied.
But you also can you're not locked into the audiobook.
Exactly.
So what they've gone and done with WhisperSync is taking books to a whole new level. And it's a level I would call bookcasting, where it's no longer about a book, but it's about what's going on in your head and fitting it into your life.
And you don't have to have a Kindle for this to work. You can put it on your iPad or iPhone or Android or whatever.
I'm so glad
you
said
Mac.
That. Because I have one of the oldest iPhones, and inside that I have
one of the oldest iPhones in the world.
Yes. It's from the museum of RAA Museum of Devices.
Yeah.
And they only borrow it to me so that I can do research on how to live a digital life.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I also have it on the iPad, which is also from the museum.
Yeah.
And what I do is I read on my iPhone on the bus, come home, take out the iPad, and it's in the place where I was. Mm. I read on that, and then I put on my headgear, I go to Fresh Fitness, I work out, you know, and then I come on. So that's,
it's great.
It is. It's actually.
Do you have the quote?
Yes.
Great.
And yes. So this is a quote from a guy that I have not heard about, but he is famous in the States. I know. His name is William H. Webster, director of Federal Bureau of Investigation, also known as
FBI.
Yes, famous organization. And this quote,
famous bureau,
maybe the most famous bureau in the world.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. It's from October 15, 1985. But I think it was famous because back then there was a lot of shit going on, basically, with the FBI. Yeah, they were really big at the time in the States. Now we all know who they are. Okay, the quote goes like this. Behind all the political rhetoric being hurled at us from abroad, we are bringing home one unassailable fact. Terrorism is a crime by any civilized standard committed against innocent people. Away from the scene of political conflict, must be dealt with as a crime. In our recognition of the nature of terrorism as a crime lies our best hope of dealing with it. Let us use the tools that we have. Let us invoke the cooperation we have the right to expect around the world. And with that cooperation, let us shrink the dark and dank areas of sanctuary until these cowardly marauders are held to answer as criminals in an open and public trial for the crimes they have committed and receive the punishment they so richly deserve. And that was Mr. Webster, William H. Webster, director of the FBI, 1985.
Yes.
And with that, I have to say, we have told you a little bit about the start of Patriot Games, why Tom Erik should read it, and that means why you should read it too.
Uh-huh.
It's a great, engaging story. Lots of action.
And perhaps after you read the book,
yes,
you can watch the movie.
Yes.
You think that's better?
I did that.
Yeah. If you want.
Huh?
You don't have to. It's okay.
Don't know. You don't have to.
You don't have to watch the movie.
You don't have to read the book.
I don't have to read the book.
We read it.
But you think you should read the book.
I think you should read the book. Yes. Yep. Yep.
And then?
Bye-bye, everybody.
No, we have to tell people to go to the website, you know?
Yes.
Yes. To bookcastingpodcast.com. And talk to us on Facebook.
Or the Twitters.
Or Twitter. At bookcasting.
Yes.
On facebook.com/bookcastingpodcast.
Yes.
Or just Google for bookcasting. I think you'll find us.
Yes.
Bookcasting.
Bookcasting. Cast your book.
Please, you have to subscribe.
Yes.
So that you get all the episodes into your podcast player.
Yes. And you should do it because we don't know when, but this is going to cost money soon.
Yes. A lot of money.
Yes. More than you can afford.
And next week,
yes,
we're going to do something else.
Oh, we know what we're going to do.
Oh, do we?
We're going to do The Dip.
Oh.
By Seth Godin.
Another Seth Godin. He writes a lot of books.
That's true.
Where does he get all the words from?
I think it's inside his bold, shiny head.
Ooh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Reading books so you don't have to.